Good morning, Babylon Jordan, PMG.
Thank you. My name is Pauline from the Christian, Southern Christian, and the Joseph, and the Joey, Sarah, and the Asian of Europe. There's two more meetings after this meeting, so we need to just make sure to manage our time properly. And I'm going to ask the provincial president to give us an ideal. Overview of the production of the 434 and the
3D production and the technology for the overview. Good morning. Maybe this time approach is specific, as you are aware. I mean, this is a non-financial and financial information that we're presenting. I mean, we can go through it very quickly, and across my team, that's okay with the committee, that we give you a high-level summary. So we can try and do it in 10 minutes. And then the detail sits in the schedule that we've provided you. We've given you a CD plus all the detail. And then obviously if you want any other information, then you are most welcome to do that. So what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to give you the high-level tables. You can take the text as reading, and I'm going to ask Dina just to present the one slide on the performance information that gives a summary. So effectively, the presentation of about 27 slides or 26 slides. We'll probably just present about 5 slides of that. And I'm going to try and do it in less than 10 minutes. If 10 minutes are lined up, we can fix it for that. Okay, Chair, that's just the presentation outline. The stuff that I've spoken about in the presentation comes to every expenditure and also non-financial information that will be presented by Zina, which also deals with entities. This slide gives you the overall summary for revenue. The key point here is that there's no risk on the revenue side. All the departments have more or less collected what they were supposed to be collected, except the Department of Education with a small adjustment, and then also the Department of Environment. But there's no real issue. And the one point I need to make is that we've collected about 16% more than what was in the budget, and that money at the moment sits in the revenue fund. That slide gives you the detail, each of the departments, transport, notice, health, notice, president, notice. And from an expenditure perspective, we spend about 99% of our entire budget. Notice, no department has overspent on the budget, so there's no unauthorized expenditure from that perspective for 2017-18. And that will pick up when we deal with the annual report later in this year. There's an underspend of about 700 million, and I'll deal with that just now. Most of it is in personnel, but at this point in time, there's no risk. That slide just gives you the detail of each of the departments as of 31 March. And obviously, with the health, we'll see that the major part of their underspending relates to a little bit in personnel and also some in the global fund. This slide deals with other departments, education, no major issue, compensation about 50 million down after the public works, no major issues. We spent all the money on roads, and there will be some roadable requests. Premier, Treasury, and local government, most of them are spending roads with COD. Then, in terms of the headcount, I think what's important here, Chair, is that our strategy is to maintain the headcount budget. And you can see that year on year, the shift has been about 500 staff members additional. There will be 80,000 staff employed. If you take out the interns, then I think the number even drops to below 100, and this slide also indicates in which departments and test indication obviously mostly teachers in the case of health, mostly health officials. That slide gives you the details, and effectively what I've indicated now, if you take out the interns, you will see that the increase year on year is really on the bottom. Then on the entities, also notice from an overspenditure perspective, there are some under expenditure. Nature Conservation Board, it's some of the capital money we provided to them that's going to be rolled over in terms of some of their projects. Gambling Board, small amount, it's actually more savings on their side, and also on the side of the consumer. But I think the key message to the committee is that we've got notice from that perspective. That one gives you detail. In terms of all of the entities, so non-managed entities, obviously, the issue around the lease agreement that's been signed with the regulator, but all that expenditure will be spent in the new year. That's the detail on the retail authority, the gambling board, and the CEDA. The key point there is no risk. And then from an infrastructure perspective, we spend just over 90% of our budget. You can see in transport, that's not an issue because that's been corrected, that's mainly on the road side. I've spoken about Cape Nature, funding with the water is also the case, and human settlements mostly on the ground, and that's been spent on almost all the money. This slide deals with the delivery performance information of the departments, and we're going to ask Ian just to deal with the two other slides.
Okay.
I think that takes care of our presentation. I think we've found that to be something like 3 minutes.
About 1/4 of that relates to They collected 227
And a lot of it has to do with charges for, like, start making photocopies. It's also about, it's a lot to do with internal charges and sometimes these cadets that get issued by the Department of Local Government. So the 2,000%, I should also look at it in the context of the low rates, and I think the same holds for the Department of Economic Development and Tourism. And the main thing at that department was obviously 3% of the third party sat there. So their revenue base is fairly low, and they have collected, it's about R1 million in relation to the 298,000 that was in the bus. But the main revenue collected is the Department of Health, who's collected 8% over, the Department of Transport and Public Works, they've collected about 14% more. And then the provincial figures up to the gambling activity increased about 20% more. So overall, Chief Wolf, I agree with you. I think the performance on the revenue side by departments is something that we at one can applaud it for. I mean, they put a lot of effort into collecting the revenue, and they also put a lot of effort into making sure that they've got credible estimates. The principle is also based on incentives. The more they collect, the more the incentives we go back to the certain. It's one area where I think one should compliment and congratulate the department plus the public interest on the effort that they've put into collecting all their money.
I just want to confirm, these are billions. These are millions and billions. It's not like 2.67 million. It's 2 billion.
Thank you.
Dr. Leia Pitchcock will be writing for us as well, and then an offhand response to the one of those.
In terms of the starting point, they are actually part of the revenue collection, but they are not the major component of the revenue collection. Of course, the issue of policy and the issue of follow-up is a matter that is actually dealt with the traffic authority and the court system. So, but to the extent that it is not followed up into producing the actually the own revenue collection.
Follow up on that one?
Can I confirm that the system whereby a provincial county police generate fines in the municipal areas, the money actually accrues to the municipality and not the province? Is that still the case?
Any fine that is issued, whether it's by a provincial traffic officer or by a municipal traffic officer, moves to the municipality in the area where it gets issued. So we do not get involved in that kind of system. Obviously, we are responsible for provincial traffic, and they, in fact, provincial traffic can issue you a traffic fine anyway. There isn't a municipal road or on a national road. So even if those fines get followed up, it will not impact on our revenue on the call. The other revenue other than motor vehicle licenses are issues around issuing permits. There's also rental income that sits at transfer and public goods for the buildings, etc., that we're renting up. And that then makes up the remainder of. So we're not getting involved in any of the fines. So the chief book is absolutely correct. But I just want to quickly talk about the other one.
The Global Fund is a donor funded organization, it's a national organization, and they specifically focus on ending AIDS, tuberculosis, as well as malaria epidemics. So the health department receives funding from the Global Fund for those specific areas. There was some understanding on the Global Fund money, but there will be a local complete that they don't expect money from. But it seems actually for those 3 years to keep fighting TB, fighting AIDS, and fighting malaria.
There's something that's been coming up for probably the last 8-10 years. It's a rolling agreement that we have with the Global Fund. And it's part of the agreement is that the money is specifically earmarked in the budget. Any underspending goes back into the Global Fund, even interest that is accrued on that fund, so it can exclusively be spent on initiatives as we now highlighted. And in fact, that agreement has been renewed about 2 years or so ago. Every year, you will see the Global Fund in the blue book, the budget book, and obviously the underspending will come by this approach. So the money is refixed, we can't touch it.
The
500 million, obviously that's just in the AIDS budget budget, as opposed to duration, and it will, come as part of the justice estimates. We haven't gone through the processes of determining the allocations, or let's call it the application, because obviously when the allocation happens, those departments will apply for the allocation, but you will see it in the justice estimates books. Specifically the application. And a lot of times, most of the agents are either going to include certain initiatives or you go towards dealing with one specific initiatives in the current year or in the first year of the year.
Yeah,
there's
time for business, but the Manila has confirmed what I thought of the situation is about, because I don't leave that one alone, because it has been a discussion over the years, and that is that we provide provincial traffic service, and we work hard, and we're the only province that provides 24/7 traffic service as far as the province is concerned. We do a lot of work within municipalities, which we approach our traffic police to Metro and that sort of stuff. So can you give us any indication whether the Treasury has pursued the investigation as to whether the money that has been generated by the provincial traffic police within Hagen Society can in fact not come back to the provincial fiscus as opposed to the provincial body as opposed to going to the municipality?
The money that the municipality was collected at is probably going to the general budget, or do they have to spend it on transport in the municipality?
Okay, Malcolm will respond to the budget issues in municipalities and how they put their budgets together. But people know the budget around the universal traffic and the fines, and we've done a thorough investigation on that matter a couple of years ago. And in fact, the conclusion on that was that it's up to each municipality to decide if they are prepared to give some of the problem. Because legislatively, the money accrues to those municipalities. What we normally do with those municipalities is we encourage them to use some of those traffic money to actually improve the infrastructure relating to their sort of traffic enforcement. So whether it's signage or whether it's maybe particularly needs that maybe at let's call it street crossings, it's traffic related, but we've got no right to claim any of the monies that we actually, you know, that accrues through the issue of traffic funds. And the principle is also, I mean, the chief would recall that I mean, traffic policing is not about, the main aim is not to issue tickets. The main aim is about policing. And I mean, the issuing of traffic offences is the consequence of the policing. But legally speaking, we do not have a claim against it. So that is what we do in our own engagements with the municipalities, encouraging them to rather spend the money on some of those services related to traffic and policing. Now, for this respondent, how many put it up together?
Thank you. Obviously, the municipalities will obviously start in their priorities for the year, but it would be their own interest to fund that specific function from the revenue that they will do for that specific function. So the first priority would be to allocate some of that money to that specific function in this specific traffic service.
Thank you, Chair. I don't want to go against this, but just to go back to the structure and age. If one looks at the reasons given by the Treasury and see that how the bottom of the two large lines infrastructure understanding relates to conditional grant funding, so what is the reason behind it? Was the tender over made? Was the shortness? One of those people that part of the team to know what they want to go in for 1, 2, 3 hundred. The department has spent 300 of the 400 million and the line item. Similarly, on education, understanding related to infrastructure, related to 1 million mentioned, what does it mean? What is the reason behind it? And also transport and public work, related to public maintenance project, 150 million. So what is the reason that, like I said, the concept has been appointed today, but the delay in exercising the data, what is the core reason behind this? One is to understand it.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a couple of maybe overarching points to be made on the infrastructure side. One is the whole infrastructure construction industry is in a severe failure at the moment, mainly due to lack of construction activity and mainly work given out by both public sector and private sector. We unfortunately have led to a couple of companies going out of business. One big company currently has a business basically that doesn't look too promising at the moment. Once you have to cancel a contract and to get a new contract inside, that takes quite a lot of time. And one particular road is the 116, Oaksling, and the rest of them. That takes a lot of time to get, and it's unfortunately a lot of community estate and travel because the road are there, but there's no construction, there's no entities. I think that's an impact on our side now. That unfortunately happens because the competitiveness in the infrastructure or construction industry, the pricing is traditional, in some cases there is no profit, and that's part of the reason for it. There are some processes in terms of procurement that most people have to go simply on some of the professional service providers that also not performing as they should, including construction. One of these cases would be clearly, for instance, that should have been completed a long time ago, getting close to completion, but that not corrugating was not planned, so that causes delays. It's a lot to do with construction companies and professional service providers not always performing as anticipated. The plan, they were going to speak the issue on both of those that we discussed before in terms of delays, but the contract is on that time, so hopefully as project will be completed in the near future in terms of zoning and EIAs and so forth. That contract was delayed. So there are a number of specific issues, but in general, the overarching thing is that in a number of cases, there are cases, and the overall screening was supposed to be used at the end at 90%. So, but there are a tough business out there currently in terms of construction investment.
Thank you, gentlemen. The five rounds actually rise in response. One is assumed because there's tough business environment, there's more people, there's one person, one of the respect is an overstanding and not an understanding. And then if the punitive measures to take, we've spoken about professional service not going as smoothly, over the deficit consultant, is the punitive measure in place where US Treasury will meet with the department? And also, where do one pick it up? I presume you have monthly meetings for them to say monthly or two based on hours, like the role is also from staff to pick it up again. So where do you pick it up to avoid coming to court of four and seeing if you understand it? To make it potentially different.
Chairman, we take the infrastructure stuff very seriously. In fact, we even raised right up to the executive level. There's a ministerial infrastructure committee that is chaired by the MEC or Minister for Finance. The minister that's in attendance, the Minister of Education, the Minister of Health, and the Minister of Plant and Public Works, and then also the HFE. So right up to the executive level, this matter is taken up very seriously. There's constant monitoring, obviously also by the National Treasury and some of the national departments responsible for infrastructure. We monitor them on a quarterly basis, and we also have administrative committees that actually operate between Treasury and the three key departments, and then there are also infrastructure committees between the custodian and also the delivery departments like education and health. And obviously, there's an issue that we would raise it, you know, with the respective department. But I think as far as indicated, the infrastructure is a difficult environment, you know, particularly to predict, and at the end of the day, you know, we ended up with close to about 9% from the state. And most of the underspending that you see on the screen will be rolled over, because those are mainly for projects that are currently in progress, and also for projects where, you know, the commitments and stuff have already in fact, in the case of the health department, we requested for a loan on the conditional grant, and for the last couple of years, we had no issue with any of our loans from the national department of health.
Maybe just to add, in terms of the results, it also sometimes has a bit of an impact. Larger, so currently in the results, and hopefully it's going to be something of the part soon, but the department has to be swung. Specifically, transport and public work in terms of their capacity to intervention, water saving measures, regional water resources, and so forth. And that limited capacity needs to be redeployed to attend to those things. And that also added a bit to the 17-18 funding decision.
Mr. Carlson, thank you. Thank you.
In the future, just I think one can have a column that shows for
Chairperson, if you talked about it, I'll tell you about your name, about performance. Now, I'd just like to know, does the fact anywhere in these figures money is accrued from non-performance? In other words, penalties on non-performance of contracts, the retaining or retention monies on the basis of non-performance, or in the case, for instance, of the one celebrated security contract that's running at the moment where we're paying an incredible amount of money, and yet they, from our security background, there's serious underperformance there, and there should be penalties accruing. Do we actually ever take notice from contractors on the basis of non-performance or the like? And one other thing in relation to that, do we pay any contractors money up front? Like, if becoming a cottage industry in South Africa, do we pay hundreds of millions of rand to contractors up front before the contract starts? Do we, does that have a response at all?
Respond to obviously the supply chain process around the contract management, which is really on the infrastructure side, and maybe to one of the other issues in that space.
Okay, this on the infrastructure side is part of the process, and the first coming back to the retention money. If there's non-performance, then the department will then pull on that particular guarantee. I'm sure to what extent that revenue that was generated will be included in the revenue figure of the department, but that's normally the process. The department then will pull under guarantee if there's non-performance by the company, particularly as far as the construction industry is concerned. As far as the prepayment is concerned, remember, it's a policy in the Western Cape government that is done to prepay, particularly in infrastructure. We don't do prepayment. Yeah, there will probably be one or two contracts, but then it's part of the contractual arrangements. But it's a norm, and that is part of our treasury instructions. We do not do prepayment, unless, as I've indicated, it's part of the contractual agreement, and it was decided before the department actually went out on tendering. But as a norm, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, just maybe on the penalties, that normally penalties, when the contractors are missed the invoicing, penalties do get introduced from time to time if there's non-performance. Especially when there's delays on the contractor side, which doesn't get approved by the department. But that's it, comes out with the invoice. So if they submit the invoice for 2 million, there's a penalty of 50,000 for delays and will be deducted in the only the debt will be covered. So it gets dealt with within the specific contract regime or that specific contract that doesn't come normally in as a regime. Hmm.
Jacob, you
please say no. I just thought that the general test, such as the other, when we get to the annual report process, we'll ask the question. I'd like to know, does this get affected one way or the other, especially in this particular case, this particular security contract, which you know about, which is costing us an arm and a leg to secure a facility which is not secure. Surely, if there's a contract there has got to be penalties, and that gets taken off the bottom line of the contract. And I want to know where these things get reflected, so that from our oversight point of view, we actually know that the contracts are solid contracts, and the public money is being protected in the execution of the solid contracts.
I think there are departments, the particular department can also do the specifically in that important.
Yeah. Chairman, I'll definitely suggest that and maybe even include that in ways to clear our security. Remember, we're well aware that effectively it's between parts of the public works and community safety. That actually, speak to this matter and satisfy them with this. What exactly is it that they're doing and how do they reflect the stuff, in their book on accounts?
Yes, Chair. I just want to find the current dispute with the AG in terms of agriculture, if it has any impact on performance here. I do see, obviously, that the cathedral has some public knowledge, but that's also like Northern would like the county to operate as an entity, but has there been any cases?
Chair, I mean, what we presented here is the financial performance, financial and non-financial performance. From that perspective, there's no major issue. I mean, the issue with the Auditor General relates to the audit outcome of 2016-17, which the auditors have now announced. And then obviously we are in the process now of 17-18. The management reports, all departments have not been issued yet, and the audit reports will be issued by the end of this month. In relation to all of these departments. I'm not aware that the process was actually impacted on this, because I mean, the member may recall that the guidance that came from National Treasury effectively came after the end of the financial year. So the practice that the department has occurred over the last 2 years has remained intact.
answer, not have any expressions, but you know, when it comes to policing, whether it's a church or traffic policing or whatever, especially in the municipal reality, that revenue that gets lost, of course, through the cracks in terms of fines, in terms of other activities around motor car, vehicle registration and roadworthiness, it's a massive loss for municipalities. It really cripples our municipalities to actually an unfair fashion. Because nothing, you know, nobody summoned to court. If they just mix up and they decide, okay, random sampling, every second warrant is going to the dustbin. That is what is happening. I'm not aware of the exaggeration. I've been there in that space myself.
I'm aware of people that work overtime in the departments, even in the city, to be summoned up. But I think the department itself is responsible to give the line to the municipalities can inherit it.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question to you, asking that you agree to an additional column a year to the front one to get a little protection.
Yeah,
from 5 to 6 to 2,000.
Thank you.
I want to drink the tea.
Okay, go drink the tea.
Come drink your cappuccino.
Okay.